Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm,
and he got it, young boy! Continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Roan. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
I'm sleepy, Justin. you know, it's this is going to, any parents in the chat are not going to love this, but because it's the worst complaint of all time. My daughter has gotten pretty good at sleeping at night, and that's great. But a byproduct of that is like, I got like 4.5 hours uninterrupted last night,
yeah.
Which was like, which any new parent will tell you, or has told me at least, it's pretty amazing. The only problem is my body is like, that's such a long sleep that my body's like, all right, he's done. So, you know, she goes back to sleep. I don't go back to sleep.
No, no, you sound like, the Cavs, coming off essentially a 2 week long road trip, just an absolute stinker of an effort. You know what? This is a tough podcast because I actually was coming in planning today.
You're feeling yourself.
I had some positive topics. Even though the Cavs have struggled a little bit lately, we're in one of those lulls of the season, as tends to happen with bad teams. I was ready to come in with some energy.
Shit happened.
Some Monday energy. I had some fun stats here, but just a rough effort from them, which I'm totally willing to throw in the trash. And the other thing that just gut punched me, and I just want to address it very quickly, is that video of Delonte West. I think Carter and I are in the same boat where that's a dude that we really liked as a player and we rooted for as a person, and I really hope he gets help. If you haven't seen the video, don't go out and see it. Don't go out of your way to do it. But
he's in rough shape.
Yeah, I really hope that there is some sort of a happy resolution of this, because that's pretty bleak, man.
Yeah. It's funny, like, I kind of judge – how good of a Cavs fan you are based on how you feel about Delonte West.
You know what? There's a lot of truth to that.
Like, if your first instinct when you think about him is to make jokes that, you know, we know are not true. And especially now, if that's your instinct, then really fuck you. But, you know, if that's your first thought of Delonte, then, you know, I kind of lump you in like some kind of inferior group. Because he was just such a good and fun Cavalier to root for on teams that weren't always super fun and always needed a little extra off the bounce juice. Like, you know, like even as things got stressful late, like Delonte always kind of showed up, and like there were just so few guys you felt like you could trust.
Yeah, he was probably the second best player of that era, in my opinion.
Oftentimes,
at least
he really was.
Years.
And only real Cavs fans know that. So that's kind of why I judge that based on that is, you know, if you really know, then you knew how good he was. And yeah, it's just heartbreaking. You know, I'm as overtired and oversensitive as I can be in this stage of life. And it about brought me to tears seeing that video.
I absolutely. And I mean, there's no graceful way to pivot, so I'm going to hard pivot with a tale of three guards, Carter.
Okay,
one,
let's do it.
Mr. Darius Garland, 4 of 20, trash against the Knicks. Colin Sexton, 6 of 20, trash. LaMelo Ball. Have you heard what he has named his horse? He has a pet horse. Do you know what the horse's name is, Carter?
No.
The horse's name is LaMelo. Let that sink in. That is more trash than anything the Cavs guards put up on Monday night. And I think that alone should be grounds for not drafting him.
Yeah, should at least drop him down most people's boards. yikes, LaMelo.
Not
man,
great.
What a weird family.
Yeah, what very, very weird family.
And then Lonzo's just there.
Now, I want to get into kind of some of the other topics that I had lined up for today, and I still think they're applicable. So obviously there's been a slight change here, but now it has been 15 games since the Jordan Clarkson trade. And I think there's a few of these young guys, for those that subscribe to our premium feed, know I do a youth report once a week. I want to apologize for not doing last week, just because a lot of things came up and it became very difficult to do that in a timely manner. But I have three guys that deserve a lot of credit right now. The first is Colin Sexton. Over the last 15 games since the Jordan Clarkson trade, he is averaging 22.1 points per game. And this is including tonight, keep in mind. Shooting 46% from the field, 42% from three. And his true shooting percentage, let me get this up.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Elevator music cue.
No kidding. You hate to see it. I thought I had it queued up, but you now didn't. We're doing my favorite segment, which is Justin Looks Up the Internet. 54.6%.
Perfectly respectable.
You know what? Like, that is a decent amount of time here where, yes, he has flaws, and I don't think we have to go over it a million times, but that is a significant amount of points to score at a pretty efficient rate. He's shooting threes again, which I love to see. Whether or not they go in, if he's going to be an effective combo guard, he needs to keep taking those threes. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a career 38% shooter from deep, and I think that's probably – he's probably – 36 to 38% is what I'd have to guess. That's what his actual skill is.
He just can't be 32.
Right. Which he's already dragged his season percentage up to over 34%. So I think Colin Sexton needs a little bit more credit than he's been receiving lately.
I mean, I feel like everyone's been giving him, sure, there's always going to be complaints when he plays poorly, but I do feel like people have generally recognized that he's been good. I mean, honestly, more than anything, what you want is just to not say much about Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
Because what he does well, you just kind of hope that he can do.
Yeah.
And then the stuff – and if you're not talking about him, it means he's not doing the stuff that drives us crazy, which is a win in its own. And that's maybe not fair because, you know, we give Darius Garland credit for passes he tries to make and doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's kind of a lot in life that Colin has to have given his play style. You know, guys like that, feast or famine. And I think that he's been playing some of the best basketball of his career, and it has coincided with an uptick in I would love to see dribbles per game over this stretch, because it feels like Darius has the ball so much more.
Yeah, I was going to say that was something that I was going to look up today, and I ended up not. I do think this has been the best stretch of his career, and I do think that he has improved. And ultimately, if he can be a combo guard, let's say his true shooting percentage is up over 55%, and his points per 36 minutes, so let's say he does have a reduced role where in the future he's playing 28 minutes of game off the bench or something like that. If he's a good defensive player that's scoring at that rate for the time he's on the court and he's doing it efficiently, that is a very, very valuable piece. That's a guy that can be a piece on a winning team. And it's encouraging to me to see that with Darius Garland playing better, it's had a positive effect on Sexton. And I think there's some vice versa there. But early in the year, I felt that they were kind of taking away from each other's game. And no matter what, no matter who is the starters in 2 years, they're still going to be playing a lot of minutes together if they're on the same team. So them learning how to play off of one another is a big positive.
You know what I think is a little bit funny is I actually don't think Darius has played that well the last five games. Last four. But they haven't. It's weird because stylistically they've been the same though, and that's kind of what we're looking for. We talked about after the Denver win that we said something to the tune of, this is the way they have to play if the Sexland thing is to work. Mm-hmm. And I think stylistically they're mostly still playing that way. Yeah, they ran into a buzzsaw against the Lakers and Clippers, but they were super competitive at Memphis, pretty competitive at Chicago at the end of a road trip. So I don't know. There's just something stylistic that makes sense about them. The way when Darius is, you know, possessing the ball a lot. I mean, it's also been pretty ugly at times where, you know, you have the 8 turnover game against Chicago.
Yeah.
Where I don't know. You know, it's really interesting. We've been so spoiled and then just had weird rookie guards,
mm-hmm.
like the Deion Waiters of the world or the Kyries of the world, that were either super developed or super raw, that Darius's turnovers, I think, are something I wanted to talk about. I know we're pivoting off of Sexton a little bit, but
nope, that's fine. We got to move through this stuff because we've got some ground to cover here. So yes,
it's just interesting watching a point guard get to figure it out how to play point guard in real time, because Kyrie was already like this own unique thing. He was just so unique, and then Deion was just like just pure Deion, and then Colin is like, you know, has blinders on. So like watching a guy who's not a natural playmaker, or at least hasn't done it a lot,
mm-hmm.
like figuring it out at the NBA level is kind of interesting. And like, that's why like every now and again, you'll just have an 8 turnover clunker where he just keeps turning it over because he can't figure it out. It's just kind of fun in its own weird way. Like, I know it's not fun to watch in the moment, watching him blow a game against Chicago because he turns it over on 3 straight possessions. But like, it's just something we haven't gotten to see in a while, I guess.
No, it is interesting. And I mean, this was a bad turnover week for Garland. We were coming off basically 2-3 weeks of him having a assist to turnover ratio above 2, which was really, really encouraging. And it was funny because the last 2 games prior to this Knicks game, so Grizzlies and Bulls, I wasn't able to watch live because I was down in Minneapolis and my International League pass has a blackout because it's a Canadian one and those rules are dumb. But one thing I noticed watching the box scores, and then I went back, watched both games last night. That was so I've had a lot of bad Cavs basketball rammed into my eyes, Clockwork Orange style, in the last 48 hours.
You know who's never going to do that for this podcast?
Could it be you?
Perhaps a younger version of me, but not this version.
Well, that's what I'm here for, man. But one thing I noticed, and the research that I did for the Youth Report actually backed this up as well, was in the first half of the 4 games they played last week, Darius Garland started very strong in each of those games. He actually shot in the first half of those games 52% from the floor and 46% of 3, and he scored 9 of the basically 14 points that he scored per game in those first halves. And I think there's a few things at play there. This is the longest road trip of the season for the Cavs. 2 road back-to-backs where they played twice in LA, then Memphis, Chicago. Obviously, he's been battling a bit of a flu as well. That was something that he was dealing with tonight against the Knicks. But with him managing a larger load recently and having more responsibility, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that in the second half of games, especially on these road back-to-backs where you're playing 4 games in 6 nights kind of thing, it doesn't surprise me that he's losing a little bit of his legs. But in my opinion, it is positive that he's struggling against the Grizzlies and the Bulls and failing in those opportunities. It's not a positive that he failed, but it's a positive that the Cavs are in close games where he's actually getting opportunities.
Getting a lot of good reps.
Yeah, he's getting opportunities.
That's what's fun about it. It's like you're watching him figure it out.
Right, and he didn't close games before, right? It was always Jordan Clarkson out there in those final minutes. So for him to be tired, trying to overcome just everything that's holding him back at that point, his legs are gassed, he's a little under the weather, making decisions in meaningful minutes, I think that's a big time positive and something that they can build off of. And hopefully they can stay in more games in the future so that you have more of those meaningful minutes.
And it's not like it's all negative reinforcement. I mean, there is a point where too much exposure to failure can negatively affect a guy. But like, we also watched him basically win them the game against Denver.
Yeah.
I think
he's going to succeed at times as well. This, as I mentioned, that's the longest road trip of the season, and there were two back-to-backs in it. So that's a shitty situation to be in. But those are good reps for a young guard to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really liking the way his play style is starting to shape out. Adding more mid-rangers to his shot profile, which is so funny to like be a thing that you ask for in 2020. But for him, I'm cool with him, especially given the other options on this Cavs offense sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just feel like, you know what he really needs to happen that just hasn't yet is he has not had a volcanic month from three. He's had good months from three where he's like, okay, he's at 42%, 43% on like 3-4 attempts. Mm-hmm. He's starting to get a lot of attempts up. His last six games, he's got 9-6, 7-5, 7-6 up. So he's obviously getting a lot of shots up, but one of these games, he's going to get up 6, 7, 8. And we talked so much at the beginning of the season about how we knew that him turning into a dominant player, it was going to come from the outside in. And he really hasn't established that yet. I mean, he's a good 3-point shooter, but he's not one that's like striking terror into the defense. And once he gets to that level, and I'm pretty confident he can, that's when things start to get really fun.
Yeah, I think hypotheticals
and promise, but it gets fun when he just starts canning them Trae Young style and making them, making defenses really stretch out to guard him. And he's inching there ever so slightly. He's just not there yet.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to watch Darius Garland shoot and say, hey, that guy is, I don't know if he's a good shooter. Like, he looks like an incredibly good shooter, and I think those shots are going to start falling. Your point does make me wonder one thing, though. And I was talking to Mike in our Discord chat earlier today, and it kind of made me think, what do you want to see from the rest of the season for Garland? Do you want him to have more kind of explosive scoring outbursts and kind of go the Kyrie direction? Or would you like to see more competence running the team where you see like these consistent 17-7 games where it's almost a little more in the Chris Paul type archetype? Obviously, he's not going to be Chris Paul. I think he can be a very good point guard. I don't think he can be an all-time point guard like that. But do you want to see him follow that direction, or do you want to see him go a little bit more into the gunner mode?
I would like to see some explosive performances out of him because those indicate a star level that an efficient 17-8 don't. You know, 17-8 is nice. I don't build around 17-8. and it would be really,
he's
really
20
cool.
Though 17 oh. and 8 is great at 20.
It's great, it's cool, it's just not, it's not as obvious a precursor to a superstar, a defense bending superstar, you know, and that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah,
and I think a big part of it is like I don't think his path to stardom will ever be being a floor general. I don't think that's in his DNA. So
yeah,
you want
him to be more Kemba or Dame, right?
Yeah. Like,
more
and than I anything. Think, so I would love to see some 30, 40-point performances where he just kind of goes ballistic from three. If you were to say he's going to finish 17, averaging like 17-8 for the rest of the year, I'm not going to be like, no, I don't want to see that. But if I had to choose between two awesome outcomes, I'll choose the big scoring outbursts.
Yeah, you wouldn't kick that type of play out of bed for eating cookies, right?
No. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I would like to point out, though, that Garland has been better than Kemba his rookie year so far. Just want to say. So Garland also in that 15-game stretch since the Jordan Clarkson trade, 14.7 points per game, 43% from the floor, 34% from three, which feeds into what you've been saying where you'd like to see those go down a little bit more. He's taking about six a game, 4.7 assists per game, and 3.1 turnovers. One steal per game, too. How about that? But he still has not recorded a block in his NBA career, Carter.
I think we'll be waiting a while, Justin.
I think, that might be... That might be similar to Tristan Thompson's three-point shot. We're waiting until the perfect moment for that. Do you have anything else to add to Garland, or can we keep this thing moseying along?
Let's keep this train rolling. I'm tired.
I want to bring up one other guy that I think we've been a little bit negligent in not discussing. Do you know who that is, Carter?
Is his name Jetty Osman?
It's Jetty Osman. He is now up over 40% from three for the season after tonight's game. And you know what? He has been really, really damn solid this year. I think that three-point shot, at this point, you can say it's fairly legitimate. He had that one little lull last season where he was dealing with some back stuff, had a little bit of a lull again this year. But overall, he has been really, really consistent. And
taking a lot of them lately.
Yeah, and he's really being aggressive looking for catch-and-shoot opportunities and fewer off the dribble. And that's something that's really, really kind of catching my eye, and it's encouraging to me.
He's not just taking them when they're open, too. You know, I think that's what you're looking for out of a shooter, is a guy that with a closeout coming at him still can take and make the shot. And I do think that he's been making a lot of those. I mean, his last five games, he made four threes, five threes, zero threes. He went 0-5 against Memphis, 4-5 against Chicago, and then 4-6 against New York. I mean, I still think that the D part needs to get there for Jetty. It's just not. Damn. And it's just like, I don't understand why. And maybe it's just straight up physical strength, but he's 24. So I don't know if that's going to get better. But offensively, he does make a lot of sense as a role player on this team.
No, absolutely. And I think you and I both would like to see more minutes with the second unit at some point in his future. So you could use him a little bit more for playmaking reasons. But that's just not feasible when this team doesn't have any small forwards other than him. The defense, you see him play decent man-to-man defense at times.
But even then, he just gets the shit kicked out of him. Against
sometimes,
against like Marcus Morris, you kind of expect it. But even against like just regular wings, he just gets bullied a lot.
Yeah, it can be hit or miss. I think the right way to frame it would be that he is a pretty decent positional defender that has active hands in passing lanes, but he's not going to raise your defensive floor. He's not that type of defensive player at all, which I think is fine.
I think it's a little disappointing.
It is a little disappointing. Fine is not great. Like, trust me. Yeah. For those in a relationship, you know when someone tells you, it's fine. It's not the greatest thing in the world. But for what we're paying him, if he is this type of a three-point shooter that makes smart plays off ball, gets some rebounds, I'm very, very, very content with him making $7 million a year
I think the thing I'm disappointed about with the defense is I like to imagine who on this Cavs team could potentially be on the next good Cavs team. And when you're thinking about good wing starters, they have to be able to defend. I mean, you look at like a Royce O'Neal, who is not significantly better than Jetty, but
I don't know if I agree with you. I think
I don't know, man.
If I'm comparing it to the last competitive Cavs team, so this second LeBron era, I don't think Jetty is that much worse defensively than any of the wings that we had. Like, I think we had a stronger defensive presence in the middle. Obviously, you had LeBron playing free safety. I'm talking obviously when they were actually trying. Yes. I think if you had a actual rim protector in the middle,
it would help.
if you had guards that weren't a complete disaster defensively, if you had a power forward that was trying on defense, I don't think it would be as glaring. I think it would look similar to like what Donovan Mitchell looks like in Utah, where guys get by him, but there's defensive help all around, so you don't notice those issues as much.
Well, I guess here's what it is. I think his shooting has been good. His gravity needs to be much better than it is to justify his defense, you know, because a guy like, you know, let's say Marco Bellinelli has been a very useful player on playoff teams in the past. But guys go flying at him like their hair is on fire when he's open from three. I don't really think Jetty makes people do that yet. And if he can get there, then the defense stops being such a concern. But since he's not there yet, and does not command that level of respect, I think that's where it's a little messy, if that makes sense. Obviously, I like Jetty, and I think he's perfectly fine at the number. And as you've kind of led the charge on this, he's not paid to be a starter in the modern NBA at $7 million.
Yeah, no.
But I think the reason, if you're the Cavs, that you sign him to that deal is you kind of hoping he gets to that good starter level, and I just don't think he's there yet. And I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't feel like he's making enough progress defensively that I would be hoping. But as we said, I think offensively there is promise as a shooter. It just hasn't reflected in bending defenses just yet.
No, I completely agree. And the nice thing is he's benefiting from the guards playing better.
Yep,
definitely. Actually moving the basketball, he's developing some chemistry with Darius Garland. And him cutting down on the shots off the dribble has been nice. I remember the start of the season, Spencer Davies was mentioning to us that he seems to be better on the one dribble pull-ups in transition than he was as a set shooter. The fact that he's doing well on these catch and shoots and coming off of screens and firing quickly, those kind of Korver-esque looks, that's really good, because that is something that you can replicate. And if you are a better version of a Cavs team, those are the type of looks you would assume he'd get. Whereas off the dribble looks, that's not helpful if you're looking for a role player to play off of your better high usage guys.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I think he's trending up offensively. I just want him to get to that next level if he's going to really get to where we want him to be. But he absolutely could. So I've been pretty pleased with Jetty in the last month, and he's really rebounded from a pretty aimless start to the season. So
no, I completely agree.
Definitely have not had much to complain about with Jetty lately, and that's really nice to have.
Shout out to the young dudes, man. The Cavs are not the only people taking L's recently. We have one that it makes me happy, and I'm sure it's going to make you happy, Carter. Adam Silver's proposal eats shit. It will not be put to a vote in April. There was not the support from the owners. Brian Windhorst talked about it today on the Hoop Collective, where just anecdotally talking to players and coaches, none of them were really for these changes. And I am very, very happy that it seems like this will not be implemented in two seasons.
I think it's pretty cool that the NBA Board of Governors listened up to the latest episode of the Chase Down Pod. I think that it's really respectable that they're trying to, you know, take our lead on how to grow the game.
They know what's up. They know that we are the voice of the people, which is something that I kind of always had the feeling that they knew that's what we were all about, but it's nice to see it actually acknowledged. Speaking of the voice of the people, I want to get your thoughts on this. I want to do a bit of a show meeting. We have some other questions here that I think I'm going to bump to the next podcast, because these are lean days right now as we're waiting for the trade deadline. And as you mentioned, you're tired. But I want to do a little bit of a show meeting here on air.
Love it when you do this.
I know. I think that it's...
Peel back the curtain.
You peel back the curtain, give the people what they want. One comment we got in our Menchies on the Chase Down Pod account was just that they'd like to hear a little bit more diverse opinions on prospects coming in the draft. Because Trevor does just a fantastic job. But there is a variance, especially in this draft, where it seems like there's 15, 16 guys that can go in the top five. And I'm on board with this. I think that that's something that we should acknowledge, that while we both respect and think Trevor does probably one of the best jobs out there, I think I should be a little less definitive in my draft takes when I really don't watch any of these prospects.
Listen, pal, I love the idea of doing big roundtable pods, and I feel like you always are just a little lukewarm about it. Like, you say, yeah, sure, and then you don't want to do it. So I just said, I still think we get 2-3 draft guys. It's just a casual hangout. It's a, you know, we can kind of clear out and let the draft people cook, ask some questions, facilitate the convo, and do something a little different for once. But no, let's just, me and you just talk about sports for 30 minutes.
You know what? I'm with that. I'm going to try to do some personal growth here. I'm going to open myself up to the idea of a round table. Cause you're right. I'm lukewarm on the idea of 4-person podcast, but you know what? We got to give the people what they want. We got to listen to our listeners, cause ultimately we're trying to be the cash show that people want. We got to give the people what they want. So we want to do a draft podcast soon. Send your questions in to chasedownpod@gmail.com if you're not already part of our Discord chat. That's one way that you can get some of your thoughts in there, and hopefully we can relay those questions to the draft experts, because Carter and I are very morons. Very far from that.
Total morons.
That's another way of putting it. All right, so I'm gonna wrap it up now. This was fun. I wish it was a little more fun, but you know what? Sometimes the basketball gods do not smile on us. They give us a turd sandwich, but you know what? We make the most of it. So thank you to Carter. Thank you for staying up and doing this podcast, because I know it's not the most responsible. It's not the biggest responsibility you have in your life right now. I want to thank all of our listeners as well. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe to help cook those books. If you want to help us directly, you can do so by subscribing to the Chase Down Premium. Just 99 cents for your first month, $5 a month after that. It's basically Patreon, but the funds are going directly to us, which we really, really do appreciate. It helps us do a bunch of cool shit. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, for those that don't know, little community, safe space where you can talk Cavs with a growing number of non-Cavs infiltrating it, which I don't know how I feel about. But if you want to jump in there, you can send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com and we'll send you a link. But however you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. So thanks again to Carter. Thanks to all our listeners. Until next time, go Cavs.